Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Spiritual Approach to Growing Your Business, Tools 7, 8, and 9 of Business Debtors Anonymous. My name is Mary Jane, and I am a recovering compulsive debtor, and I will be the moderator for our call today. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all speakers consent by their participation to having the recording uploaded on the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcasts. Okay, our first speaker today is Jackie from California in the United States of America. She will be speaking about her experience, strength, and hope regarding BDA Tool 7, We Pay Our Bills and Invoice Our Clients Promptly. Jackie, thank you so much for generously sharing your experience with this tool and with Debtors Anonymous. Rosalyn will give you a 5-minute warning and then a 1-minute warning during your share. A 5-minute warning when you have 5 minutes left and then a 1-minute warning at the end. We are looking forward to hearing your share. And so if you can go ahead at *6 to unmute, and we look forward to hearing you.
Thank you, MJ. Thank you so much for the introduction. Thank you, Rosalyn, for keeping time. And thanks to the World Service Conference Committee of Business Debtors Anonymous for the invitation to speak on tool number 7. We pay our bills and our invoice our clients promptly. I am Jackie, and I am a debtor, and I am in the Los Angeles DABDA community. I've been in the program to qualify for 16 years and have gracefully and with a lot of gratitude as I have a successfully solvent business. And I apply the tools because my business is a spiritual approach is how I experience my business, actually. I always feel like that it's, my business is my 12th step. My business is I practice these principles in all my affairs. And so the tools are really important in getting right into we pay our bills and invoice our clients promptly. One of the just I wanted to kind of point out is, ironically, this is tool 7. Step 7 is humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, and our tradition 7 is every DA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. So it almost seemed perfectly that we pay our bills and our invoice our clients promptly. The reason is that as a debtor, and what gets in the way of business is the cash flow. So if cash flow is not handled on a month-to-month basis in a very solvent way, it sets us up for the dynamic or the possibility of debting. So on a personal level, it's the character defect. On a tradition level, which our traditions are extraordinary for practicing with our business, and of course the tools are the applicable approach to how we practice our business. So, and this also falls into that spiritual axiom we talk about in our program where we say we pay ourselves first. And this is why, because if we pay our bills and our invoices or invoice our clients promptly, we are staying out of any potential of vagueness in the process. And we're also able to stay within a day-to-day framework of where our money income is going and outflow is going. And one of the things that I do with a lot of my sponsees in the program is that as a sponsor, they send me their numbers on the 15th of the month and the last day of the month. And then they have to give me a year P&L of their personal numbers and their business numbers at the end of the year. And the reason I do that with my sponsees is that is how I run my business. And I look at where I am at the 15th of the month, like where am I, because I know what my monthly nut is, because Tradition 7, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. So what is my monthly nut? My burn rate is what they call it in business, but we call it, you know, what are our expenses? Where am I with that? And what do I need to do? Change, course correct, collect, invoice, or earn in the next 2 weeks. And that's just a basic skill that I work with in terms of my sponsees. Applying it back to step 7, when I look at it with my sponsees, I also, if I'm clear on where they are with their numbers, then the truth and integrity of the spiritual conversation is right on, like is I'm not in vagueness. I'm not having a conversation with a sponsee that is giving me their version of the reality. I now have the numbers to understand and see where they are. And that's exactly how I apply the approach to clients. So by doing, our bills and invoicing promptly, I don't allow any time to get to debt time in my collectibles, accounts receivables. So as a business owner, I do payments to people I owe money to also on the 15th and the last day of the month. So the way my business is set up is that I pay out on the 15th and the last day of the month, and then I start my collections on the 1st and the 15th of the month, so that I always have my income comes in on the 1st and the 15th and goes out on the 15th and the 30th. And that's how I cash flow my business. And then when I work with my sponsees in that same recognized formula and cadence, it allows us to get up and running in a cash flow positive way works out. I also, I always feel that money is a relationship. I feel like indirectly we're in a relationship program, even though we talk about money and debt. It's a relationship program. And on the other side of any money transaction is either a person or an institution. And when I'm having a relationship with a client, how they value and pay invoices is also representative of the quality of the relationship that I have with them. I do not make any payments to any client who has not invoiced me. So we'll repeatedly ask clients for invoices the service that we owe them. And I also make sure that I also have all the appropriate, tax ID number and information on their invoices, and I'll send their invoices back if it's something that is missing. Because the record, I've been doing this, so I've had my own business as a result of DA probably, if I'm in program 16 years, probably about 12 years. The record of the invoicing has come up in one way or another. And so having these clean payment documents, both for tax purposes, for backtracking, I always think that I remember everything, and that is so not the case. And so I'm always looking to see, the track record of it. The program that I use professionally is different than the program that I use to keep track of my personal numbers, interestingly enough. But the program that I use professionally now allows me to also upload the attachment of the invoice, and I also upload the attachment of the agreement. I prefer to use the language agreements in my business as opposed to contracts, because I don't like to create a contraction. I like to create a sacrament of an agreement of two like-minded people engaging in a service that has all of the terms and conditions and payments outlined in it. But going back to cash flow, collecting the money, keeping the cash flow clean and solvent. And sometimes when, I know I'm going to have a light month because my collectibles is going to be low, being solvent as a solvent business owner and not relying on credit or floating money to cover me has then forced me to create new avenues and revenues of income that have paid off handsomely for me as a business owner. And I almost now have reverence for and appreciation for sometimes what feels like a really tight squeeze. I think, oh my God, how am I ever going to get through this? Like, how am I going to, make, the end of the month or the end of the year? And at the same time, the clarity here and the vigilance that we hold, I've allowed a God space in that seventh step to provide me this space for a solution, an earnings solution to arrive. And it's pushed me to take chances and create ways of income in my business that I never thought I would do. And it comes from the clarity of the cash flow, comes from the clarity of the invoicing. It comes from paying myself on time and not clipping my wings financially one way or another. And I think, you know, because of this program, you know, I have kept vendors with me for over a decade because I pay them promptly. You know, staying tight in the vigilance of practicing our tools in the way that we have the opportunity to has allowed me also to become a very business owner that people like working for because they don't have to chase me down for their money. So, I'll just backtrack and say that I'm the debtor who was a newcomer, and they told me to separate my personal money from my business money. And I thought, I have no business money. How am I going to do that? And I just took the action to open up a business account, just that simple action. I thought it was ridiculous. I think I put $100 into the business account because that was what was required at the time. And I have been able to build up a 10-year business of a consistent value and income, and that has provided me and my employees a really decent life and wage, and also I believe a good service and product that we get to place in the world. So for that, I'm forever grateful for that. How am I doing, Rosalind, with time? Did I just blank you out there? I could tell more stories.
Rosalind, we can't hear you. Maybe she can star 6 and just give Jackie a time.
That's what happens when I keep my own time. I'm like, that's 15 minutes. I thought I ran my time there, so I'll end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Jackie. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing. That was amazing. Okay, and I just want to check in and make sure, Rosalind, we can hear you. So let's take a maybe star 6, Rosalind. Okay, I'm not sure what happened there. I'm going to go ahead and keep time. So our second speaker is Regan from New York in the United States of America, who will address BDA tool number 8. We put all of our business agreements in writing and write our own letters of agreement. Regan, we are so happy to have you on this call. I will go ahead and give you a 5-minute warning when you have 5 minutes left, and then a 1-minute warning when you have 1 minute left, and we are looking forward to hearing your experience, strength, and hope on this tool. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me really quick before you unmute?
Yes, okay. I can definitely hear
great.
You. Great.
All right, awesome. I just made the mistake of Googling for the full verbiage of Tool 8, and a UK website popped up with this call on it, and I was like, oh my God, this might be a global call, and now I'm suddenly even more nervous. But I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you, Mary Jane, and everyone else involved with this call for doing the service to make this call happen and for asking me to share my experience in DA, BDA, and specifically with this tool. And my name is Regan. I'm a debtor. I'm an under-earner, and I'm a self-employed business owner. And I'll start off with some basics. I've been in DA for about 5.5 years. I came in through another fellowship at the suggestion of my sponsor in that fellowship because I was always struggling with money and struggling more with my career dissatisfaction, always feeling like I wasn't living up to my full potential, always resentful at, you know, the various solvency jobs I had that were never what I wanted to be doing. I'm a creative person, and I'm creative and I'm very entrepreneurial, and I attempted to be creative and entrepreneurial earlier in my life, well before recovery, and it was kind of a disaster. I almost ended up bankrupt, and you know, it was sort of my first experience with major debt and the darkness that comes with that, and just the like desperation that comes from failure. And I should say the desperation that comes from failure and not having recovery, because failure is just like, you know, it's just a part of doing business now. But so I was in recovery in this other program and constantly struggling around work and very, very, very unhappy. And, you know, my sponsor kind of nudged me into this room, into this fellowship. And when I came in, then I had, let me think, I had like three or four kind of like B jobs, solvency jobs, whatever you want to call them. I had jobs that were paying my bills. And then I had this vision work that I wanted to do, this creative work. And it was a new career, completely different avenue. And it wasn't happening. You know, I still had this disease and I was working my butt off in all these other jobs trying to make this creative pursuit happen and not able to get it going, super resentful and really unhappy. Pushed into DA gently. And yeah, it's really 5.5 years later, my life is really, really different. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time going into, I actually will, I think I'll end the last couple of minutes talking about how I work my program. But, you know, I'll just say that like, I am now 100% solvently and abundantly funded by the creative career. It's incredibly gratifying. You know, before DA, if you had told me I could do exactly what I love to do and get paid really well to do it, I would have doubled over laughing. And, you know, now I can say that it really is possible with a ton of hard work in this program and just in general. It's not easy being, you know, a self-employed business owner, but it is, for me, pretty gratifying. And it is great that I'm talking about this tool. I actually, like, credit BDA and going to BDA meetings here in New York City with changing my business and like how I run my business and my cash flow because of the clarity I heard in those meetings around letters of agreement. I think at that time I was loosely, like, you know, my first couple of years in DA, I sort of started to get a little better about doing contracts, but they weren't super tight and it wasn't always with everybody. And I remember going to my first BDA meeting and like hearing the tools, and I think someone even qualified specifically about contracts. And I just was so grateful that to be in a room filled with business owners talking very specifically about contracts and negotiating and setting rates and letting go of stinky customers and attracting better ones and, you know, all the things that help run a successful business and, you know, that, like the spiritual approach to running a business and filtering it all through the 12 steps. And it was one of those first BDA meetings where someone talked about how they got deposits. And I always had a cash flow problem. And I had trouble chasing down clients to get paid. And it was like a light bulb went off. And I decided that I was going to implement that in my business. You know, in my business, I schedule something ahead of time, and it's anywhere from like, you know, in 3 days or sometimes like 4 to 6 weeks later, we schedule something, we reserve the date. And I was like, well, why don't I charge a deposit? Because number one, then I'm getting some of the money up front and I'm not waiting for it all if they end up paying me late. Number two, I'm holding something for them. I'm providing them a service. And number three, if they happen to cancel at the last minute and I don't have a deposit, I'm just SOL. There's, you know, I'm not going to make any money that day and it'll be too late for me to make money. And so I started adding that to my contracts. And I remember the very first time I sent out a contract requiring a deposit, like I felt nauseous. I just felt like, I don't know. I thought they were going to get mad at me. I really, it boils down to like shame usually, like my fear around shame. Like someone's going to reply to me and tell me this isn't how, quote unquote, it's done. You know, we know how to do this because we're in this industry and you're an outsider and you don't know how to do this and this isn't how it's done. That was my fear. And I sent the contract and then I quickly sent the invoice. And my invoicing software lets me take credit card payments. And like, 20 minutes later, I got the signed contract back and I got like a message that it was paid. And it was like not a peep from them ever. And ever since then, it's what I've done. I don't ever, I was nervous about doing it for a while, but like it was like a muscle that I developed and now it's just how I do it. And when someone reaches out to me about a job, I send them usually just kind of a quick rundown. I wouldn't call it quite a contract, but it's some verbiage from my contract that basically outlines the job and says like that there's a deposit required and blah, blah, blah. It's not hidden, but it's just like one of the many things that they can expect from working with me. And then if they're good with that, then I send them the contract. And since those early days in DA and starting my business, I have really fine-tuned my contract. It's now 2 full pages with, you know, very fine print with all the different terms and conditions and what, and it benefits them as much as it benefits me. It lets them know like what they can expect from the actual day, what they can expect to be delivered, when it's going to be delivered, when they're going to get invoiced, how long they have to pay, like everything. It's just clarity. It's clarity for me. It's clarity for them. And I really like what the previous qualifier just said about calling it an agreement. I'm thinking I'm going to change my language around that because calling it a contract has always felt a little transactional and sterile. And it is an agreement because there's lots of negotiating. And I can't tell you, I've been in DA 5.5 years, and to this day, it's still very difficult for me to receive an email back from someone that doesn't like something in my contract. Talk about like fear of people and financial insecurity being linked. There is just something like it just triggers something in me. And I'm so grateful for the tools at that point because I make calls like crazy. I have lots of fellows that I talk to regularly, and even fellows that I don't talk to regularly, I have a sponsor. I go to lots of meetings, and like I don't react now when I get those emails right away. I usually wait quite a while, maybe even as long as 24 hours. And by that time, like the emotional intensity has passed, and I will, you know, come back to them and say, okay, I can accommodate that, or I can't quite accommodate that. I can do this, or like sometimes it's something that I really can't do, and that's difficult to say no and have boundaries for me. But like, you know, because of DA, I do it anyways. And I, you know, I'll just give an example of I'm in the middle of something that it's a complicated situation. It's a legal situation with a client that is happening because of vagueness. I started working with them several years ago before I was doing really tight contracts for absolutely every client. And now, you know, hello?
Regan, I'm sorry, yes. We lost you. I don't know what happened.
Oh no.
No. We can hear you now. It just went out for
okay.
Oh, there's 5 minutes.
Oh, just for a second. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. And
did you hear?
Yeah, I'm just in the middle.
Did you hear the 5 minute warning?
Can you hear me?
Warning?
Yeah, I did hear the 5 minute.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Thanks, Ashley.
Okay. So yeah, so I'm just in the middle of this like messy situation that is so like, I don't know, it's really instructive to me because it's a really great example of what I used to be like with the vagueness. And then conversely, I'm working with an attorney and, you know, he had a huge letter of agreement with me, or they called it a letter of engagement. And because of DA, I sent it to my brother-in-law, who's an attorney, and he looked it over and he gave me feedback. I read through every single word of it. And then I, you know, made the corrections and sent it to my attorney. We negotiated some things, and every single thing that he sends me, every letter that he sends to anybody, I read every single word of it. And that is like a miracle of DA. Like I just thought that stuff was for adults, you know, and I wasn't an adult. I needed someone to do everything for me. And now, you know, because of DA, I like take care of this stuff and read through everything and show up for myself. And I'm just going to finish with the last few minutes by just saying how I work my program. I do 2 to 3 in-person meetings a week. I have a sponsor. I'm in the middle of step 6, and I read, pray, and meditate most mornings. I have an action partner, which has been really instrumental in moving my business forward. It's very helpful. We have a very quick phone call where we share our actions for the day, and program actions, non-program actions, whatever is coming up for me that day. And I do service. Service is a huge aspect of my recovery. I like staying in the middle of the pack. Being seen and heard is very uncomfortable for me. And so doing it in the safety of, you know, 12-step rooms is a really good way for me to practice it. And I keep my numbers. I love doing my spending plans, either monthly or like for travel or, you know, even work-related spending plans. So I do keep my numbers. And yeah, I'm just incredibly grateful for the abundance that I have because of DA. And like, there are cash and prizes, and I'm in the middle of receiving a great cash and prize right now, but it's really their side benefits of the spiritual awards of DA. I show up to things so differently now as a person, but also as a business. And I'll, let me just really, you know, this is related. I think that it's because of my clarity and my agreements and the way I run my business that I work with really great people. Someone said to me recently, like, oh, I bet you work with a bunch of doozies. And I was like, actually, I don't. I think that there's just something about the way I communicate with prospective clients that helps ward off the crazies. I work with other business owners that run a really tight business and communicate clearly and pay me on time. And I think that the way I've, you know, learned to show up for myself and my business because of DA is just a miracle. So looking forward to hear the next qualifier. I'm looking forward to everyone's shares. Again, I thank you, Mary Jane, and everybody else for doing this meeting and for everyone being on the call. And I'm going to mute right now.
Thank you so much, Regan. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us on DDA Tool 8. Okay, our third speaker today is George from Vancouver in Canada, and he will address DDA Tool 9, which is we notice the competition, but don't worry about it. We learn from our competitors and trust that it is an abundant universe with more than enough for everyone. So, George, if you can go ahead and star 6 and unmute. We are so happy to have you here. And Roslyn will give you a 5-minute warning when you have 5 minutes left and a 1-minute warning when you have 1 minute left. And we look forward to hearing your experience, strength, and hope on this topic.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for asking me on the phone call, Mary Jane. I'm sure you can hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good. So my name is George, and I'm a debtor, and have been for most of my life. And there's only very few times in my life that I can remember where I was not debting. And having done that, I ended up in our rooms about 9 years ago now, pretty broken individual regarding money and a large amount of debt and no idea how to get out of it. Like the previous caller, I'm in the beverage program. I've been in there for about 23 years and I understood that one, but I could not understand money. So I ended up in here and, like I said, pretty broken, large amount of debt, and there was one thing I had learned was how to work the program, a program. So I knew what 12 steps was about, and all I had to do was show up. And if I kept showing up, sooner or later I would try to start to work the program. I would understand a bit more what was going on, and things would get better. So over the last 9 years, it has got better. I spent most of my time in DA because that was the closest meeting to me, but now I've just switched to BDA about a year ago, and I'm enjoying that immensely. So I'm a business owner. I run a construction company, and we design and build new homes and renovations. So I've done this most of my life. Only in the last few years have I done it profitably. With regard to the competition, I have I know most of my competition. For many years, we all fished together, actually, and we went on a fishing trip every year for salmon, and we all got to know each other quite well. There was about 18 of us went on this trip, And we would talk about what was going on with the business and what wasn't going on and what the market was doing and what we were doing and what the other ones were doing. So I got a very unique insight as to how they were doing their business and how I wasn't doing my business. So they had systems in place. They communicated with clients regularly. I tried to avoid my clients at all costs. And they were doing all the things that I was supposed to do and wanted to do, but couldn't quite get there. I knew I had to do them, but I couldn't quite get there. So that was about 10 years ago. I used to hang out with these guys. And so I learned a lot from them. And they've also stayed friends. So I still talk to them to this day. So I get first-hand information as to how they handle their business. And I also talk about how I handle my business. And through coming to DEA and BDA, I have learned how to run a successful business. And it's taken a while and many ups and many downs, but in the last few years it has turned around. And I now do all the things that I am supposed to do to run a business. There was a lot of talk in the previous two calls about contracts or letters of agreement or whatever. And in my business, I have contracts. And some of them are quite large. And they're well worded and they're very fair to both sides. And when I send it out to a client to show them what it will be, I usually get it back with no marks, no corrections, and sometimes there'll be a couple of small corrections. But it does set the playing field. We tell everybody what we're doing. Everything is included in there. So my clients know what they're getting. And a lot of that I learned from my competition, because sitting in the fishing boat with a guy for the day, and then you're discussing this stuff, you get to know what they're doing. And I picked it up and took it to my business. And they were already quite successful. None of them appeared to have any, they didn't seem to need to belong in the rooms of DA or BDA. And but I did. So so through this process, I learned how I didn't have to fear these people. I used to, it was a strange combination. I was sort of in awe of them, and I was in fear of them at the same time. And because they were doing quite well, and I was just hanging on by a thread, a very fine thread. But now, they're still in business. They've done quite well, and I feel like an equal now. And I never felt like an equal before. So that makes a huge difference. Our clients, they obviously, my competitors and I, we don't do everything exactly the same. They have different methods of doing things, and I have different methods. But the end result is to give the client the experience we promised them. And so I now have a set of systems and protocols in place that when at the beginning of the project or in the design phase, I'm able to tell them what they're going to get. And at the end of the project, they get what I said I would give them. And that is all anybody asks for in this world, that they get what they paid for. My competition do very much the same thing. They just do it with slightly different methods. Do I copy some of the methods? Sometimes. Do they copy some of my methods? Yes, sometimes. But at the end of the day, our methods are quite similar when you go through the process and get to the bottom line. I don't know how I would have done this without DA or BDA. It would have been with my history of not being able to understand numbers. I still struggle with numbers. Don't get me wrong. I have somebody in my office that looks after most of the numbers for me. I still do the sales and the estimating, but he looks after most of the numbers. The big difference now is once a month, once a week, and then once a month we meet and we go over the numbers, and I know exactly what's going on, and I understand where we are. Previously, I would look at spreadsheets and profit and loss and balance sheets, and I would just kind of glaze over and say yes or no to something I didn't understand. And now I do understand. I'm able to understand what a balance sheet is and what it should look like and what a profit and loss is and what it should look like. And having done that, my business changed from an unsuccessful, very badly run business that gave away far too many things because we didn't know what was going on, to one that actually the client gets exactly what they want, and we deliver what we say we're going to deliver. And when we do that, this very strange thing occurs where we actually get paid on time and properly. And something also mentioned earlier, deposits. Yes, we are a business where we tend to get large deposits in the beginning. And using those deposits properly throughout a project that may last a year or 2 years from beginning to end is a knot into itself, so you don't end up using that money for some other purpose.
Minutes.
Thank you. And it's a relief that when we get to the as we move through the project, we understand where all the money is and where it's gone and where it's coming from. So, again, going back to my competition. Makes all the difference in the world. I live in a market that has, I think there's almost 3 million people in Vancouver and the surrounding area. So there is no shortage of business here, but there is a shortage of qualified people that do what I do. And most of my competitors, we're all about the same age. I'm 64 years old now. And most of them are about the same age. And we're at a level where people want us to do the work. We know what we're doing. And we know how to get the job done properly. So that goes back to, I don't need to undercut anybody. I don't need to overcharge, but I don't need to undercut any of my competition. All I have to do is work out a fair estimate and provide a cost to my client that will show them that. And whenever we do that, whenever we're pricing against the actual competition, we're usually all pretty close. There's no coercion going on. We have no idea what the other one is doing. But if we estimate it properly, then it comes down to who the client wants to work with it doesn't become a pricing exercise and they're trying to take the lowest bidder. It's the client is deciding who they would want to work with rather than who they don't want to work with. And that is huge in my business. So yeah, it's much easier to work in somebody on that basis than not. So through this entire process of crazy business-making decisions, somehow I've survived for quite some time. And I'm doing a project now. I just started it for a client I started working with 35 years ago. And he and I have maintained a relationship through that time. He knows all my trials and tribulations. And it's a wonderful experience to be able to continue to work with this person and to have an understanding as to how it'll work out and how things will get done. He's been very good to me over the years, and I've been very good to him. And it's been a mutual relationship and a very satisfying one all the way through. So telling the truth in my business is somewhat unheard of. But myself and my competition, we tend to do that. And when we do that, jobs go well, projects go well, and the future business keeps coming in. And it's been
1 minute.
An interesting run. Thank you. I don't know what else I have to say. The only thing is that when I went to Minnesota last year and met all you guys, I didn't quite picture myself in a phone call doing this. But I'm very glad you asked me to call Mary Jane. It's been an honor to be on the call and talk about this. So thank you very much. I'm done.
Thank you so much, George. Thank you so much. Thank you for your experience, strength, and hope. That was wonderful. And thank you to all three of our speakers. And just as a reminder, we heard from Jackie first, speaking on Tool 7, then Regan, speaking on Tool 8, and, of course, George, who just spoke on BDA Tool 9. So at this moment, I'm going to go ahead and end our recording. But before I do that, I just want to let everyone know, once this is posted, to keep your eyes open, your ears open, because the BDA, the Business Debtors Anonymous Committee, will have another call with speakers focusing on the final three tools, BDA tools, tools 10 through 12, in the upcoming near future. So keep a lookout for that. Okay. All right, I'm going to go ahead and end the recording now, and please everyone stay on the call because we have a second portion of the call.